I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock, this is where you will find a safe space for you independent thinkers out there. Beholden to no party, no politician. We don't fall in love with people who pretend to be our leaders. We call them out here on the show. Next hour, 10 o'clock as usual, we'll do False Flag Friday. There's a lot of foreign policy stuff. There's a lot actually going on, but there's also some... it'd be a time for you to pull out your Friday paychecks, take a look at your federal withholding, and I'll let you know where some of that money went. And then we'll finish up the show as we do with this week on the crazy train. As we look at the insanity that's going on, plenty of clips for this week as well. Doesn't take much these days. Start out with my quotes of the day today. This is from, I'm familiar with this person, R. Sesilaus. I'm probably butchering that. He was a Greek philosopher and a student of Plato, and he said, quote, "Where you find the laws most numerous, there you will find also the greatest injustice." This is a problem that I have here. We are over-policed in this society. We have too many laws, too many regulations. Average citizen has no idea. We're 10 misdemeanors a day for the average American citizen, something like that. Too many laws here. Marcus Aurelius said, "It never ceases to amaze me. We all love ourselves more than other people, but care more about their opinions than our own." And Marcus Aurelius also said, "If it is not right, do not do it. If it is not true, do not say it." Why, wouldn't that be nice if we lived in a world that just abided by that one little sentence right there? Did anybody else notice that yesterday was an absolutely beautiful day? I mean, it was really, after the storms, everything else, I subscribe it to the end of the mask mandate. It was the first day without a mask mandate. Is it just a coincidence? Are you trying to tell me it was just a coincidence that God decided to give us a beautiful, there was a cloud in the sky. It was almost, I thought, as God was looking at us and saying, since we had restored the rights that he gave us over the rights of our government, that he actually did us a favor and hooked us up with a nice day. They're called natural rights for a reason. I'm telling you, and weather's warming up. I mean, some people would call that a coincidence, but not me. I've got some COVID stuff here. I've got one clip I may try to find during my next break. I really want to hear, but I may have to just clip it during the weekend about some of the just anecdotal stories of what people are experiencing after these shots. One guy developed shingles. I hadn't heard that one before. Another person, and again, these might be completely coincidental, but the guy, I think it's like 34, 38, 39 years old, he gets shingles after a long bout of really bad side effects from the shot in the first place. What he thought he might have had a stroke. It didn't turn out to be a stroke, but he couldn't find his words, was disoriented, couldn't think straight. And then a week later, he ends up with shingles. So he's got 4 to 6 weeks of festering boils on his skin. And then another guy, this guy was a medical professional. One of his buddies ended up with type 1 diabetes about a week after getting the shot. He was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. Again, maybe it's coincidental. You know, this is the beautiful thing for the vaccine makers and for the health authorities. You never really, you know, it's impossible to tie to the vaccine, right? I mean, things happen to us health-wise. But just a coincidence, they say. There's no connection there. Surely they would have known that in the extended clinical trials of the vaccine if it caused type 1 diabetes, except, oh, yeah, wait, there was no extended trials of these vaccines. There's been a lot over the news about the, you know, Mississippi and Texas leading the way on getting rid of masks. And what I've said is this disease has brought out the petty inner tyrant in so many people. Now, this has existed for some period of time. People on the right and the left all love to make sure that the laws apply to behaviors that you don't approve of. And all the people on the right and the left say, I love freedom. We should have freedom in this country, but not the freedoms that I disapprove of. Now, this is happening. This was a woman. Again, I'm playing a lot of clips these days, and I'm just explaining the inside of Mike Madison's brain. Not that anybody really needs to be interested, but I think it's a different way of looking at some of the things you hear. I played the clip yesterday of the Texas nurse who was talking about them stacking bodies like firewood during the mask mandates. She was so incensed that they were taking the mask mandates out, and I thought it didn't make much sense. I mean, if they were stacking bodies like firewood during the mask mandate, then to me it says maybe the mask mandate wasn't really doing you any favors. This is another one of these clips where a woman says something, and to me, it exposed her inner tyrant.
Texas will soon be the largest state in the country without any COVID-19 restrictions on businesses. Governor Greg Abbott is ending his mask mandate and other measures. The move has drawn criticism from health officials and President Biden. And as Ashley Lopez of member station KUT in Austin reports, many frontline workers are nervous.
Emily Hoover says this decision is going to make running her business harder. Hoover is the owner of a women's store in Austin called Feathers Boutique Vintage. She started requiring masks in her store even before the state had its own order, which she says wasn't popular at first.
I had a really hard time as a business getting people to comply. And a lot of people calling me, messaging me, telling me that, you know, I needed to get rid of it, or that they wouldn't shop with me as long as I had a mask mandate.
Last summer, she says, things got easier when Governor Greg Abbott issued a statewide order requiring people to wear masks in public spaces. But this week, Abbott announced he's rescinding the order effective next week.
People and
so to this woman, this is how I heard this thing. This woman, and I absolutely 110% support her right to require masks of her customers. She has invested money in her business. She has put time into her business. She is operating it on private property. And so it is certainly within her purview to set the rules for everything. But what it was hard. It was hard. People didn't really want to last March wear the mask when she first started asking them to, and they were not going to come to her store. It became easier when the government forced everybody to do it, and she's very upset that it's going to get hard again. See, I certainly support her right to require masks in her business, but it is this idea that she wants the mask and she wants the government to make sure that they force everybody. Essentially at the point of a gun, you know, all laws end up at the point of a gun. It doesn't matter if it's just a fine. It doesn't matter if it's just a ticket. Because if you don't pay that ticket, you will be found guilty of contempt or whatever the charge would be. And ultimately, if you ignore fines, they will come find you at the point of a gun and put you into a cage if you refuse to pay these things. So all laws essentially are at the point of a gun. This woman with her store wants to make sure that the government forces everybody to do what she wants.
Businesses don't need the state telling them how to operate.
Abbott says businesses can still decide on their own if they want to limit capacity or require masks. Angelina Alanis has waitressed at a local Mexican restaurant that's had indoor dining for a while now. She says even with a limited capacity, it has felt pretty unsafe.
It's already pretty crowded in there to the point where people feel like uncomfortable walking up to the to-go window to get their to-goes because there'll be like a crowd of people not wearing masks around the door waiting.
Well, how uncomfortable do they feel if they continue to walk up to the to-go window and get food? I don't know if my point is really being made here. I can kind of hear myself stuttering through this. It's this, we have become a country where we feel like we have to, if we feel something needs to happen, we can't just let it happen and allow people to voluntarily participate or choose not to participate in anything. We need the government to do it all. It needs to be forced. We need rules. We are a nation of hall monitors now.
To get that. So just going back up to 100% seems kind of overwhelming.
But Alanise says if the restaurant she works at decides to open up capacity, she and her coworkers will probably just have to risk it.
It's kind of like, what choice do we have? Like, if our restaurant is open and seating, like, that's our job. So we have to, like...
That's the beauty of the United States of America. Your choices are... Go find another restaurant that does not do these things. They could go work at this woman's shop. The woman that is still going to enforce the mask mandates at her store. That's the beauty of America. Nobody forcing them to go to that job. They aren't slaves. They can choose to get another job. And this voluntary association and voluntary ability to do things in this country is really, throughout history, fairly unique. And I don't think we've still, or either that if we've gone backwards, we don't quite understand how beautiful voluntary association, voluntary work, voluntary rules, all of these voluntary, they're actually very beautiful and work much better than any government mandates.
Be willing to wait on people that are inside and sitting down.
Even restaurant owners feel like they're being put in a bind and left to fend for themselves. Michael Fotage is the owner of Olame, an upscale southern restaurant in Austin. He says state officials are lifting restrictions without providing a path for workers to get vaccinated earlier.
We need help with messaging so that we can protect ourselves instead of fighting the general public and trying to convince them that that our lives are valuable and that they should wear a mask to protect us.
Close your restaurant. I mean, how much money is worth a human life? So again, this man has the ability to close his restaurant. Nobody's forcing him to reopen his restaurant. He has choices to make in a voluntary society, but he says he needs help. He needs the government to force these things. He needs the government to make sure his employees get vaccinated first. No, he has the ability to keep his restaurant closed until the age limits come down, and his young employees, should they voluntarily choose to get the vaccine and maintain their employment at his restaurant, until that happens, close your restaurant if that's how you feel. I support that decision if you decide to do it. Again, it is just... We have just become a nation of people that are scared to make our own choices and scared to trust that anybody else is operating in their own best interest. And that's ultimately what we all do. We operate in our own best interest, in the interest of our children, in the interest of our family members. We make decisions all the time, very effectively. There's tragedies all the time. Somebody might make a decision. It's a great idea to really try to tackle mountain climbing, and they die. Tragedies happen, but I am just stunned at what I've seen over 2020, which has just exposed the inner petty tyrant of so many Americans who just cannot operate unless the government comes in and enforces their way of thinking.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
Ran across a tweet from a guy. Let me pull these statistics up. Listen to this. This is in regard to masks, because everybody loses their minds in the national media. Anthony Fauci, more on him in just a second. Because Mississippi and Texas have dared to lift the mask mandates. Like, Alabama is set to follow in our footsteps, like after Easter or something. This is making news. That, look, the woman who's the governor of Alabama, maybe just a wonderful woman. She may be a good governor. I really don't know. My dad lives in Mobile, but I don't really pay attention to it. But she's decided the mask mandate is no longer necessary in like 6 weeks. She's waiting to do this. It's unbelievable. Texas is, it's next week before they undo the mask mandate. I was really upset with Tate Reeves where he announces we don't need the masks anymore. Hospitalizations are under control. No county meets the statistic, you know, the need to have mask mandates. So we're going to remove it tomorrow at 5 o'clock. And just that one day delay to me is just says, we're going to still make sure you understand we are in charge and we're going to set it. He should have just come out and gone, people, you can take the mask off if you want to. There's no more mandate. It's over right now. I just signed an order. It's done. But no, they have to give you a set time. You know what I mean? It's just this idea that we set exactly to the minute of the day when this comes off of you. Just drives me insane. But I know I'm hyper free-minded. This was a thread here. It's a tweet. This guy says, it's remarkable to me that people can look at a chart like this and think, yes, masks are an effective intervention. Cases went up 1,446% after Montana's mask mandate on July 15th. And now it's been 2.5 weeks since they lifted the mandate and cases are down 35.2%. After the mask mandate in Montana, cases went up 1,446%. That's a 14x. Then when they took the mask mandate off 2.5 weeks later, you know, they always tell us it's that 2 week lag to the surge. You go to a Super Bowl party in 2 weeks, we're all going to die. You go to a Trump rally in 2 weeks, they're all going to die. If you go out and do anything except for Black Lives Matters protests, anything else, any other public thing, in 2 weeks, we're all going to die. Well, in Montana, 2 weeks later, after 2.5 weeks after getting rid of the mask mandate, their case count is down 35.2%. I mean, this is just these masks. I just don't know what people are pointing to at any level to make it seem like these things are actually effective. I don't know. I'm having a tough time with this. All right, a couple things on the vaccines. Let's see who we got here. Ben Stein. You know who Ben Stein is? Bueller, anyone? Anyone? Bueller. Ben Stein, done a couple of Hollywood things, but he's a conservative commentator, an economist, I believe, is how he bills himself. He's a bit of a neocon for me, but Bill Stein got one of the vaccines and put out a little message to his fellow countrymen.
A word of warning to you, my fellow Americans, or whatever you are. I had the COVID booster, the Moderna, about 4 or 5 days ago, and I am still feeling wild side effects.
Wild?
Like I had the worst flu in the world, extreme shortness of breath, a dizziness, fatigue, extremely irrational thinking. It has just been devastating. I'm glad I got it. Sort of glad. I don't know. I'm a little bit glad and also not quite so glad. But it has just got to be told to the people, us people, that this booster is a killer. I mean, it's not going to kill you literally, but it is very, very strong. Beware.
Yeah, it's a killer. I mean, it's not actually going to kill people. Well, Ben, it has killed some people. Not killing a lot of people yet. I sat next to a friend last night. I asked him if he was going to get the vaccine just out of curiosity. He said, yeah, I think so. I said, why? I mean, started the conversation, not mad at him. It's just, again, I have to continue to remember that there are a lot of people that don't pay attention to the vaccine stuff. They just don't listen to anything outside of thinking that, well, they've got a vaccine. The FDA has said that we could take it, so it must be good. And you can listen to that clip there, Ben Stein. He's been on television. He writes books. He's a very eloquent, articulate guy you can hear. He said 4 or 5 days ago, he's rambling through even his warning to everybody about the second dose of the Moderna vaccine. So obviously his brain is still scrambled. That is not normally the way that he talks. Us people, they people. I'm glad I got it. Well, I don't know if I'm glad I got it. Maybe I'm not glad I got it. I guess I'm glad I got it. This is the rambling mind of Ben Stein after the shot. This was a story. You're going to see these things locally. And what's interesting to me about these vaccine stories, I am very, very, you know, I talked to Mary Jo Perry on Wednesday, and we went through some of the statistics. The people who are having severe reactions to these vaccines on a percentage basis, as reported right now, are very small. Now, very, upfront about that. This is not like if you go get the vaccine, you're going to die. Absolutely not. We do not know what this thing will yield in 2 years. We have no idea how it's going to affect your health because no human is walking around that had one of these vaccines more than 4 or 5, maybe 6 months ago. I'm not sure when the testing started exactly. But the numbers are very small, and so what you hear from the health authorities is, well, these are just anecdotal stories. Now, I just told you about it, and I'll try to play the clip. It may be Monday before I can get it, but, you know, the guy who developed shingles after the vaccine. If you ask a health authority, they'll say, well, we don't have any evidence that that was the vaccine. Might just be a coincidence. The guy was like 39 years old. It's not normal for a 39-year-old to suddenly get shingles, a healthy 39-year-old. They'll say, well, that's just an antidote. You know, you can't do that. That's not. Yet they have barraged us for the last 12 months with stories about kids who have the inflammation reaction. And the numbers are so small on the kids that have had that reaction to COVID. Out of the tens of millions of children, if they find one child who's had some kind of a bad reaction to COVID, boy, they hustle the news teams out there to cover them. Those are also antidotes. Anecdotal stories is what I mean, not an antidote like for a disease. They're just one-offs, strange things. So it's always very interesting that, if it's pro-vaccine, or if it's pro-fear-mongering of COVID, you need to listen to every single heartbreaking story. But if it's something pointing to a problem with the vaccine, then you need to dismiss every heartbreaking story of side effects. This was local news will cover some of these things. This was a guy up in Boston and his experience. And listen to these things.
I'm ready, yeah.
Walpole Police Chief John Carmichael.
You're all done?
Wow, that wasn't bad at all.
Who got a vaccination about a month after he was sick with COVID-19. We checked back to find out how he felt in the days following the shot.
By the second day, it was like I got the fever and the chills and the headache.
One day, as he drove home that week,
the pain in my lymph nodes was like radiating down my arm. It was radiating into my chest. It was something I've never felt before, so I actually pulled into the fire department.
He ended up in an ambulance.
In people who've had COVID-19, their first shot is boosting their immune response that's already there from having had the disease.
Dr. Paul Sachs is director of the Infectious Disease Clinic at Brigham and Women's Hospital.
Younger people are getting more side effects than older people, but not always.
CDC records the iTeam analyzed show 19,873 Americans reporting side effects after COVID-19 vaccinations. A little more from Pfizer, 64%, 36% Moderna. In Massachusetts, 540 reported side effects, including 97 ER visits and 71 hospitalizations. The records show the vast majority were women, 81%. Men can feel sick too, though. Sue Troy regrets not keeping track of her husband before his fever landed him in the ER.
We took the temperature and it was 105.5.
What? This is something we need to recognize happens regularly and give people the chance not only to go get the vaccine, but to recover from it afterwards.
This is something that happens regularly. The guy had a 105.5 degree fever. One thing on my natural health journey that I learned that I had never really considered or thought of or was too dumb to realize was that a fever is your body's response to trying to kill off a pathogen. And so I learned when my children came up with a fever, I did not automatically give them ibuprofen when they spiked it or when they hit, 99, 100, 101. That was the body trying to take care of itself. And so we let it run. But I knew that if it got up like 103, 104, I was going to take some action to reduce this because 105.5, I believe you're getting into brain damage territory. You just had a healthcare professional tell you, yeah, this is normal. So we need to encourage people to get the vaccine and then give them space to heal from this vaccine. 105.5 fever. It sounds like the body is not really down with this therapeutic. Maybe that's just me. It sounds like maybe the body is having a problem with this. When I come back, I've got an Anthony Fauci clip. It is it highlights the disingenuous dishonesty of Anthony Fauci and the mainstream media all in one clip. We'll do that when we come back. Stay with me. Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
You tell me. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show. I am your host, Mike Madison, here at 103.9 WYAB. There is a video out that I really would encourage everybody to watch, whether you are pro-lockdown, anti-lockdown, pro-mask, anti-mask, for voluntary, whatever, like I am. It doesn't really matter what your stance is. One of the saddest things that has occurred over the last 12 months is what we have done to our children. And there's a video out. It's 3 minutes long. I can't do it on the show. I would hope I was, when I first saw it, I thought, maybe I'll get some clips from it. I don't think there's a spoken word in the whole thing, a little bit of background music. It was made by, I believe, a ninth grader. And it is really, it just shows kind of inside the mind of a child who has been locked down. It's a little bit of time-lapse video of them sitting in their bed for a year, taking classes, staring at pictures of their friends and the fun things that they used to do together. And you can see, and it's, you just have to see it. See the expression on this child's face as the time goes by, and they do this video. Again, it's 3 minutes. I think it's incredibly powerful. And this is one of those things, as I said, Thomas Dobbs, Anthony Fauci, these governors like Cuomo or Newsom, they have focused us solely on this one microscopic virus and just ignored every other consideration that human beings have in operating in their daily lives. It just, none of it mattered except for this one microscopic virus that was 99.8% survivable. It's just stunning. What has happened to our children is horrific. And anyway, the video was called Numb, N-U-M-B. It's just called Numb, just one word. It's on YouTube. It's by a kid named Liv, L-I-V, McNeil. And that's M-C-N-I-E-I-L. But I'm sure you can just search Numb, Liv, L-I-V, not Liv like Liv, but L-I-V, or short for Olivia, and look at it. Again, it's 3 minutes. If you are pro-lockdown, if you think you've been saving these children, even though there's been no school spread in Sweden, no school spread in South Dakota, if you think you've been standing in the way, you've been supporting these policies because you just fear for the health of our children. I mean, God love you if you've got that in your heart, but you are so, you're missing the bigger picture of what it is like to be a child. And this was Anthony Fauci. Speaking of South Dakota, Anthony Fauci, you know, I played the clip of Kristi Noem and her speech at CPAC where she explained she actually kept her state open and she went after Anthony Fauci by name, which was fantastic. She said, I don't know if you've noticed, but he's been wrong. I think they're going to recap this. This is CBS had Kristi Noem and Anthony Fauci on Face the Nation this past weekend. I just found this clip. CBS asks Anthony Fauci about what Kristi Noem said. And this clip shows both the dishonesty and disingenuousness of Anthony Fauci and CBS News and pretty much all mainstream news.
I'm going to ask you, Dr. Fauci, about something one of our upcoming guests said. Governor Kristi Noem of South Dakota delivered a speech to a conservative conference yesterday, and she touted her decisions. She got a standing ovation when she said she ignored the medical advice of experts and specifically you.
We never focused on the case numbers. Instead, we kept our eye on hospital capacity. Now, Dr. Fauci, he told me that on my worst day, I'd have 10,000 patients in the hospital. On our worst day, we had a little over 600. Now, I don't know if you agree with me, but Dr. Fauci is wrong a lot.
How much of an impediment is sentiment like that to the nation's recovery?
You know, it's unfortunate, but it is not really helpful, because sometimes you think things are going well, and just take a look at the numbers. They don't lie. We see, Margaret, what happens when you pull back prematurely. Now, you're going to have individual instances of situations where people may not have and didn't see a rebound right away, but you really got to be careful, particularly now that we have variants in this country that seem to spread more efficiently and maybe even are more dangerous with regard to pathogenicity. So I'm sure that, you know, you can get a standing ovation by saying I'm wrong.
Now, what's interesting about that clip to me is that why didn't the CBS News reporter say, well, Anthony Fauci, Dr. Fauci, is she right? Did you tell her that she would have, if she did not lock her state down, did you tell her she would have 10,000 hospitalizations? And did she only have 600? How did you miss it by a factor of 94%? She doesn't ask him that. Her first question is, how does this kind of sentiment affect us going forward? Or how does this make your job harder? It's such an easy question. She's got the expert that predicted 10,000 hospitalizations in South Dakota on their worst day. Kristi Noem says the worst day was 600. There was nothing in that clip where Anthony Fauci says, oh, Kristi Noem doesn't know what she's talking about. Oh, maybe it wasn't as bad for her. But she's got to be careful. There's variants out there now. See, it's always, again, we know Anthony Fauci moves the goalposts. But how easy is it for CBS to go, what do you say about that, Anthony Fauci? You predicted 10,000 on a bad day. It only got to 600 on a bad day. Were you wrong? And why were you wrong? That's what a journalist would do. Biden's press secretary, Jen Psaki, she said that red and blue states, this is again in this controversy of red states removing all the regulations, that red and blue states people need to follow the advice of the medical health experts. And I have to ask, and I think I'm serious about this, I would probably have to go through and do a lot of thinking about this to know if I can really find the answer. Can anybody tell me when these experts have been right about anything? Okay, so you've got your health experts. You've got your Thomas Dobbs. He's just a state health director, right? Not just COVID. He was in that position. He's not our COVID guy. He is the director of state health. I can't remember exactly what his title is. Anthony Fauci has been more in the infectious disease side of things. He was in there very ineffective during the AIDS epidemic. But even prior to COVID, can somebody explain to me how these national health experts have ever been right about anything? When you look at the statistics in the United States, under these health, air quotes here in the studios, experts, we have had blossoming disease. We have huge increases in everything from heart disease to cancer to autism to autoimmune diseases. We are overprescribed, over-medicated, sicker than we've ever been. We've gotten fatter and sicker. There's more type 2 diabetes than ever. So Jen Psaki, Biden's press secretary, says, I don't care what color state you live in, you need to continue to listen to the advice of your health experts. And when I heard that, the first thing I thought was, why? What have they ever been right about? And I'm not even talking about COVID. Now, let me say, they may have been right about things. Again, if I did the research, I'm sure I could find some instances where they said something that was right, but they certainly haven't put in place any policies or haven't been effective at communicating these things. I mean, here in Mississippi, we've got diabetes that is spreading like a contagious disease. It's hit us so hard. What has Thomas Dobbs been doing about that? The health of Mississippians is getting worse. So what are the credentials of these health experts? Is it just having a degree, getting a PhD, completing some kind of a curriculum? But when they get out into the real world, I got to tell you, the health experts are not impressing me in the United States. If you look at the trends of the last 30, 40, 50 years, in particular the last 30, they are not impressing me. So I don't care if you're a red state or a blue state. I got to tell you, I think most of you know better what to do for your health than these so-called health experts, because we have been listening to them. They have been guiding. They have been taking taxpayer dollars to run our health ship for quite a while. And it looks to me like we have run aground even before COVID happened. So I would say, listen to the health experts at your own peril. This was one thing that I found was interesting, and I got to say, a little self-serving, but a friend of mine called this to my attention fairly recently. I didn't realize it, but it's very encouraging news, at least for myself.
New research suggests that people with O blood type are less likely to contract the novel coronavirus. For such blood type, the risk of developing severe symptoms, including organ failure, is also reduced. However, people who have blood types A and AB are the most vulnerable to the infection. The findings of two separate studies aim to reason why the virus is lethal for some, while others are not even aware they've had it. The study was published in the journal Blood Advances.
So there you go. Type O blood is less likely to get the disease, less likely to develop a severe case of it, less likely to die. You A and Bs, you're more susceptible to it. Had I known this, I could have gone maskless for all this time. If anybody ever approached me, I'd just go, oh, that's okay. I'm type O. It's kind of like being in a zombie movie, you know? Where the zombies attack anybody who's still alive. But sometimes people find ways that cover themselves in mud or whatever, and the zombies can't see them, and they can move about society freely. I think that's what us O blood types are. I can just move about society freely. You A and Bs, though, and here's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for health authorities, politicians, you know, they've pitted us against each other, black versus white, Republican versus Democrat, Trump supporter versus Trump hater, transgender versus straight. I mean, it's just they try to pigeonhole everybody into tiny little groups and pit them against each other. This is the great game that is being played on all of us that most people participate in. They get into their little tribe, and all they do is hate on their neighbor because he's got the wrong yard sign in his yard. I'm wondering how long it will take them to start pitting the blood types against each other. Now, I'm not sure if you pit A versus B and B versus A. It feels like me and my O brothers and sisters, we should be a little bit of the fray. To be honest with you, we're better than the rest of you. I'm an O negative. I'm a universal donor. I'm treated like a king when I go donate blood because my blood's good for anybody. But maybe they'll just pit the A's and B's against the O. Maybe now I need to start acknowledging my blood type privilege. It won't take long. It won't take long. If this manifests itself and we find out some blood types are better than others, it's only a matter of time till we pit blood types against one another. I'll be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
You know, I found myself during the break trying to think to myself, have the health experts ever been right about anything? We're supposed to trust them now. This is what Biden's press secretary says. Trust the experts, even if you're in a red state. Keep taking their advice. Are these the same people that told us to go to a low-fat diet for the last 40 years, and what happened? We got fatter. Turns out the human body needs fat. I've always said I was always trying to imagine the our ancestors out there on the plains as they take down a wildebeest or they take down an antelope, and I can just imagine some of them in there going, "What? Well, just the lean pieces for me. I'm trying to lose, you know, get that fat out of my meat." They told us to go low fat. We got fatter. They told us to run from the sun. The health experts have told us to run away from the sun. They have tried to convince us now for about 40 or 50 years that the sun is this glowing orb of death. Wear long sleeves, put a hat on, stay inside the most you can, stay in the shade. The sun is what hits your skin and creates vitamin D, which is great against a whole host of diseases, but we've been told to run from this natural free source that God gave us of vitamin D. And strangely enough, skin cancer has gone up. They told us to slather our skin with chemical sunscreens. Now, if they had come out and just said, hey, try not to burn your skin, that does do some damage to your skin. You know what? They're right about that. But they didn't. They said, before you go out, make sure you take your six-month-old toddler. If you take them outside, slather them in a chemical cocktail of sunscreen. Skin cancers have gone up, along with every other disease. I'll take some time this weekend to try to figure out if the health experts have ever been right about anything, not just COVID. But if they want me to listen to their advice, I'm going to have to really re-examine their track record, because from where I sit, from what I report on every week on my natural health show, the health trends have not been our friend underneath these experts for the last 50 years. I don't have time to get into it. I'm just going to mention this real quick before I move on to my segments next hour. But they're debating this big spending bill in Washington, D.C., this monstrosity at $1.9 trillion. What's interesting to me that I'll just point out now, and they're going to be debating it apparently this weekend, and they expected this bill to pass in the next two weeks or something, so we got a little bit of time. But it is just so refreshing. Isn't it nice to see Republicans care about spending again? It's like flicking on a switch. They didn't care when they had a President Trump signing monster bills and $1 trillion deficits every year. They didn't mind when President Trump was signing spending bills last year that added about $3 trillion to our national debt, not including the several trillion that the Federal Reserve added to their balance sheet, which is, you are collateral for that as well. And so I agree with the Republicans now. It's just that, I don't know, I kind of like consistency. I'm a big fan of consistency because it shows that you actually believe in something. But the Republicans are coming out of the woodwork now to talk about this egregious spending. It is definitely more than I heard with the last $2.2 trillion bill. And I don't know, I went to public school, but my math says, let's see, 2.2 versus 1.9. 2.2 is actually more than $1.9 trillion. They didn't seem to really have a problem with that one. That one sailed on through and got signed by a Republican president. But it is nice, I got to say, it's refreshing to see the Republicans, when every time they get into the minority party, they get really hawkish on deficit spending. Good to have you back, boys.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a Complete Flag Source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a Complete Flag Source has all of the right brackets. Visit a Complete Flag Source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. It's Friday, so Friday at 10 o'clock, we switch over and get to our foreign policy gear in my segment titled False Flag Friday, where they try to whip us into hatred of another country and sometimes of our fellow countrymen. The war on terror is being turned in on the American people themselves. This is what many people smarter than me told me years and years and years ago, and it made good sense to me, so that's why I started talking about it as well. This was a logical extension of the war on terror, was giving them an apparatus, as we call it, a turnkey tyranny, that they're turning in on us. The big day was yesterday. Is Trump the president? Wasn't yesterday the day that he was going to reascend to the throne? Didn't seem to happen, but the media was really focused on the big fears of yesterday, March 4th, the day that they had inside intel of an imminent Capitol attack.
Officials are again beefing up security around the U.S. Capitol building amid concerns stemming from a QAnon conspiracy theory. NPR's Windsor Johnston reports tomorrow's date is significant to some right-wing conspiracy theorists because they believe that's the day former President Trump will return to power.
The U.S. Capitol Police have obtained intelligence pointing to a possible plot to breach the Capitol by an unidentified militia group on Thursday. In a statement, Capitol Police say based on...
Why wouldn't they identify the militia group? Tell us who it was.
On the information, they've taken immediate steps to enhance security around the Capitol complex. The threat appears to stem from QAnon, the umbrella term for a set of disproven and discredited conspiracy theories, including the false belief that former President Donald Trump will be inaugurated as the true 19th president on March 4th. A number of people believed to be QAnon followers have been charged for their alleged involvement in the attack on the Capitol building.
So, a lot of intelligence briefings, a lot of the intelligence agencies involved, razor wire put up, fences put up everywhere, and what happened yesterday at the Capitol? Absolutely nothing. Just nothing. Of course, nothing happened. This was all just national security theater that they love to do. Now, I really sincerely hope the QAnon people have been finally dissuaded of the notion of this ridiculous psyop that was run on people. And I got to tell you, when you see the results now of what QAnon led people to, I read the story about the guy who put his feet up on Nancy Pelosi's desk. I don't know if he was a Q follower or just somebody mad at Pelosi, and rightfully so. They won't even let him out of prison pending his sentencing, pending his trial. It really is gross stuff, but just because QAnon was a huge psyop, was just or just an absolute trolling operation to make people some money that people fell for, I don't know exactly what it was, but what I do know is it wasn't real. It doesn't mean that conspiracies don't exist. This is a report that was done about December 6th, and the reason that the Capitol was not real well guarded, even though hundreds of thousands of people were, you know, expected at the Capitol. This is a little odd when you hear the timing and the change in the way that they guard the U.S. Capitol on January 5th, the day before those protests.
To respond to a frantic call for help from the Capitol Police during the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. Meanwhile, those guard troops were sitting just minutes away from the building under siege. A joint Senate panel heard testimony today from military and national security officials to try to understand why it took so long for help to arrive. NPR congressional correspondent Susan Davis covered the hearing. She's here now. Hi, Sue.
Hey there.
Key testimony today from William Walker. He is the commanding general of the D.C. National Guard, and he was talking about some of the reasons behind the delay. What explanation did he give?
Well, Walker testified that he was given orders from the Pentagon the day before January 6th.
The day before January 6th, they changed the protocols for how to protect the Capitol. Isn't that interesting? Oops.
He would have to seek approval up the chain of command for any and all decisions on moving guard troops. He said that included even moving troops between things like traffic stops. Senators were surprised to hear this, including Ohio Republican Rob Portman, who had this exchange with Walker.
Did you find that unusual?
19 years, I never had that before happen.
Walker said that order meant that when the Capitol, then Capitol Police Chief Stephen Sun, called him asking for military support when the building was being breached by pro-Trump rioters, Walker could not dispatch what's known as a quick response force that was at the ready just down the street at the D.C. Armory. He had to get on a conference call with senior Pentagon officials and wait for approval, which he said did not come down to him until more than 3 hours later after he had made the request.
I can't get that number out of my head. 3 hours, more than 3 hours. Is there any explanation as to why the Pentagon put those restrictions on Walker?
Well, Walker did corroborate testimony that Sun gave last week that on that conference call, top Army officials raised concerns about the optics of sending troops to the Capitol. Walker said that he was, quote, stunned by those comments. As for the restrictions,
isn't that interesting? They had problems with sending troops to the Capitol, the optics of that. Meanwhile, we've had, what, months now of razor wire fences around the Capitol staffed with thousands and thousands of troops?
That had been put on him, a Pentagon official who testified, Robert Salesis, said that there was concerns at the Pentagon about deploying troops after the pushback they received from the use of the Guard during the spring and summer racial justice protests, and they wanted more discretion over that call.
So this is one of those things, one of those weird, wacky coincidences that happen. It sounds like they were ready for this to happen. They were happy to have it happen. And it has yielded all of the suspects that they wanted to target with this national security apparatus, which is this patriot group, the more conservative people, people upset with the election. They were able to draw people into this thing in what is basically a honey trap, first spurred by years and years of Q that got everybody all fired up around Donald Trump, thinking that he was the savior that had a secret plan, and many of them showed up. And then they got you into the Capitol. Maybe they had some agent provocateurs to start this thing, but a lot of people followed in. And again, I said, if I was there, I might have gotten swept up in the moment, too. I get so mad at our federal government, I might have been right in there with you. But this is the way it goes. I tell you what, this thing just feels like it was planned from the get-go as soon as they realized they had this crowd here. The question is, did Donald Trump get duped into all of this? Or is there any possibility he... No. We won't even consider that. I'll be right back. When I come back, make sure you get out your paychecks. I want you to take a look at your federal withholding on your Friday paycheck, because I'm going to let you know where all that money went. Stay with me.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
Wars in the Middle East have been about one main thing. There's a couple of considerations there. There's power, there's pipelines, but it all boils down to one thing. These wars are about money. They're not about American security. The rest of the world, if we treated them with some level of respect, we'd probably not all be lining up to take our stuff, because we're a pretty powerful country. These wars are about money, and I just ran across this week of a few stories about money. So I encourage everybody to take out your paychecks, or as you, this is something to keep in your holster. Think about this when you're doing your federal income taxes next month, and understand where every nickel and dime that they take from you is going. On Monday, the Pentagon announced a $125 million military aid package for Ukraine. There you go. The average family of four, as I've talked about before, during all of their working lives, the 40 years that each parent works, so that's 80 years of productive employment by the parents, and then the 80 years of the two children that work for 40 years each, that 160 years where they pick your pocket of federal income taxes, you pay about $1.2 million for the average family of four, middle-class taxpayer. $1.2 million, that's only 1% of just one little bill that just went through to pay Ukraine for military aid packages. And, of course, this is not the first one. I believe it was in the last spending bill that Ukraine got $464 million. So think about that as you pay your taxes, and think that that's the price you pay for being a good citizen. Despite the damage coronavirus lockdowns did to the world economy, 2020 marked a record high in global military spending, according to a new report. As always, the U.S. was in the lead, accounting for 40.3% of the world's military expenditures at $738 billion. And I hate to say it, to you conservatives out there who cheer every increase in military budgets like it's your patriotic duty to build this empire, second behind the U.S. was China, which accounted for 10.6%, or $193.3 billion. So somebody explain to me why we have to spend, what is it, about four times what a country that has three times the population that we have to spend four times as much. In the U.S. and China, the top spenders were India, the U.K., and Russia. Record defense spending last year, which just shows you, hey, to you restaurateurs, to you mom-and-pop shops, to you people that were laid off, to the 20 million, the 50 million people that initially lost their jobs, to the 20 million people still on the unemployment rolls, you should have been a defense contractor, because it does not matter. Virus, no virus, sunshine or rain, the defense contractors are always rolling in the money. And then there's this one. And again, the reason that we are in the Middle East is not for American security. It is not because there's a terrorist behind every bush. It's because of the cash and the contracts. A report released by the Special Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconstruction, known as SIGAR, has found that the United States wasted billions of dollars on capital assets such as buildings, motor vehicles, and aircraft in Afghanistan. The latest report from the agency analyzed $7.8 billion spent on capital assets since 2008. So this isn't the whole war. It's just a little chunk of the war. It found that $2.4 billion was spent on buildings and vehicles that were unused or abandoned, were not used for their intended purposes, or that had deteriorated or were destroyed. $2.4 billion. Again, if you'll take out your paycheck, take a look at that federal withholding and realize that every nickel that you and every member of your family will pay wouldn't even put a dent in the amount of equipment that were just wasted overseas, just buildings built that weren't even used. When it comes to the condition of U.S. financed assets, the story is similar. Approximately $343 million worth of capital assets were noted as being in good condition, while close to $1.3 billion was recorded as deteriorated, which means that these are assets in a state beyond reasonable wear and tear, which prevents them from being used as intended. SIGAR found that $486 million of assets have the status of destroyed. This can be linked to a disastrous plan to equip the Afghan military with 20 G-222 military transport aircraft for $486 million. 16 out of the 20 aircraft were sold for scrap metal for $40,257. Now, see, the original manufacturers of this $486 million worth of aircraft, they got the full $486 million from the U.S. taxpayer. The Afghanis looked at it kind of like a guy walking down the street looking for cans to recycle, and they went, oh, look at that. We can take that $468 million the U.S. taxpayer gave us, and we can sell them for scrap metal, and we can pick up $40,257. And the four survivors remain discarded on a corner of Ramstein Air Base in Germany, where they're available, to any interested buyers. So they are. They're still trying to sell them. Maybe we'll get a few bucks back. I'm sure these used aircraft that are just sitting on a corner of a airway some way, at some point, and that money will come straight back to you, the taxpayer. War, as Smedley Butler said, the most decorated Marine of all times back in the 1930s, said, war is a racket. And I'll finish this segment out with this, as I am putting out my red alarm warning. I've talked about it before. Tom Cotton is seeking to inherit the MAGA crowd. Make sure that this neocon, warmongering Tom Cotton. I got to tell you, I reported on this earlier this week. It was a Breitbart story about Tom Cotton trying to inherit the MAGA crowd. And when I was very encouraged, because this isn't typical. This is not typical. I've been to a lot of Breitbart articles where people are praising people like Tom Cotton and Mike Pompeo and Nikki Haley, these warmongers. I don't know why you Breitbart people have not caught on yet. But in this story about Tom Cotton, underneath it, there was just everybody lighting Tom Cotton up because he didn't stand with the president during the election. Again, I'm mystified by what the line is between when you turn your back on somebody and think that they're no good. They can be responsible for the deaths of millions of people, thousands of our own troops, the disabilities of hundreds of thousands of our troops. That doesn't seem to bother anybody, but as soon as they don't stand with Trump on a vote, then they've crossed a line. At least Tom Cotton seems to not have enjoy a ton of support. But beware, there is one other person jockeying to inherit the MAGA crowd, and that is Trump's Secretary of State, the perennial warmonger, Mike Pompeo, and he's going to be sold to you by the likes of Sean Hannity. So this is Sean Hannity interviewing him. I believe this was last night. Again, as Sean Hannity is wearing his two CIA lapel pins and interviewing the former CIA director, warmonger, Mike Pompeo, about 2024.
To demand it.
If, let's say there's a scenario Donald Trump makes a decision he's not going to run in 2024, would you consider getting in that race?
Sean, I'm always up for a good fight. I care deeply about America. You and I have been part of the conservative movement for an awfully long time now. I aim to keep at it.
All right. I'll take that as a strong maybe. I don't know how to interpret that.
That's perfect.
all right. Mr. Secretary, thank you for being with us.
There you go. There's Sean Hannity, ready to sell you Mike Pompeo as the next president, just like he tried to sell you John McCain, tried to sell you Mitt Romney. He will be lining up to sell you one of these neocon warmongers in 2024. Just never ends with these people. I'll be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are back to finish up the week with This Week on the Crazy Train. As we normally do, take a look back at what is transpiring all around us.
All aboard!
Now, this first little segment here, this is one of those situations where I would say maybe it hurts me more than it hurts you, but it has got to be talked about because there are no sacred cows on this show when it comes to the craziness that we are seeing here in the United States. So I start out with these clips that bring me absolutely no pleasure.
Does anybody understand what is supposed to be happening on March 4th?
So March 4th, they're thinking that Donald Trump is going to come back and he's going to be the president. Apparently, what they said is way back when, it was like 1871, Inauguration Day used to happen on March 4th. And then Donald Trump will be back and he'll be inaugurated as either the 19th president of the United States Republic or the first president of some new something.
Okay, and I have one other one here, too, that this is all about the theories, the behind-the-scene theories, the Q movement theories on Donald Trump.
Charlotte, is it true that one of your sisters does not today believe that Joe Biden is president?
Yes, she tells her daughter that she thinks that the White House is a set and that Biden isn't actually president.
Wow.
Yes. Wow. It is mind-boggling.
Well, the person that I started talking to anyways that had initially got me into QAnon, he was like, you know, Joe Biden's not even real. Like, that's why he's wearing a mask all the time, because the fake face that he's wearing, the mouth doesn't move correctly when he talks. So they really believe that Joe Biden is not even Joe Biden.
Now, I will agree that Joe Biden's mouth is not very well connected to his brain. So there is some truth to that. But I hope, look, to the Q people out there, if there's any of you left listening to me, because I've been pretty harsh on this movement for quite a while, because I just thought it was getting a lot of people to stay asleep. But don't ever make me do that again. Don't make me play a CNN clip making fun of you again. Please move on. Q was not real. It's okay. We've all been duped by something. It's time to admit it and move on and fight the battle that is in front of us. Let's see. We get into the COVID craziness here. This is a short one, but a mantra that's coming from all the hysterics out there.
When you go to the restroom, put your mask on.
Very important. Remember, COVID cannot strike you while you're sitting at a table. But if you get up to move about a restaurant, it is deadly. I'm going to apologize in advance for what I'm about to do to you with this one. It was really sad to see Dolly Parton go. And I looked, I heard Mary Jo Perry said that Dolly Parton is a shareholder in Moderna. I did find research, but I didn't have time to go into the stories, as I found this clip this morning, to find out how much she owns in Moderna now. But she is part of a group that helped fund Moderna research. I'm not sure why, because the government was giving hand over fist. They were giving money to Moderna. But Dolly Parton was apparently involved in the putting together this Moderna vaccine. And you can rest assured, Dolly Parton seems like a sweet woman, but I don't know if she did it altruistically, if she's got basically an investment group that hands out money like that. So she's maybe has a part of this. But the reason I apologize for this is because Jolene is one of those songs that just gets stuck in your head, and I've had this stupid song stuck in my head for quite a while today.
Well, hey, it's me. I'm finally going to get my vaccine. I'm so excited. I've been waiting a while. I'm old enough to get it, and I'm smart enough to get it.
Of course.
So I'm very happy that I'm going to get my Moderna shot today. And I wanted to tell everybody, I think you should get out there and do it too. I even changed one of my songs to fit the occasion. It goes, vaccine, 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 vaccine. I'm begging of you, please don't hesitate. Vaccine, 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 vaccine. Because once you're dead, then that's a bit too late.
Oh, Dolly. Why have you forsaken us? There you go. That song's going to be stuck in your head for quite a while. I apologize for that. Maybe I'll find another song to play before the end of the show to wash that one away. Israel. Israel's leading the charge on real insanity, particularly around the vaccine. And I've got two clips here to play from the way Israel has lost its complete mind. And I got to tell you, look, I'm not anti-Semitic. I criticize the country of Israel the same way I criticize the governments of England, the governments of Australia, the government of Peru, if I see something that needs calling out. I don't like governments. But this is a country that is usually said, we really should be sacrificing our soldiers and our treasure to fight wars for them for some reason, because they're this one democracy in the Middle East. Well, this is what the Israeli government is these days.
It's largely deserted. There are four flights that are scheduled to arrive this afternoon, and passengers on those flights will be part and parcel of a new pilot program that is being launched today and which is hugely controversial. A year ago, one would not have imagined that we'd be in this situation. Now, when you arrive in Israel, you have one of two choices. Either you quarantine in an army hotel, or you can go home and do a home quarantine for 10 days, but now you have to go home with an electronic monitoring system. This entails wearing an electronic bracelet either around your wrist or your ankle. Now, this bracelet...
Now, I got to tell you, this just really hits me. Out of all the people, you know, this is... It's kind of like the black community. I'm really surprised that they don't demand more freedom for themselves because of what they've been through historically. But I'm really surprised that the Jewish country in the world, obviously the home of the Jewish faith, Israel, is not a little bit more sensitive to the idea of wearing special bracelets to identify you. I just find that a little odd.
is part of a tracking system. It's connected to a smartphone, which is connected to a sticker that is placed on one of the walls of a person's home. The company monitoring the whole system will receive some kind of signal the moment the person steps foot out of their home. So it's a way to try and stop people breaking home quarantine. And it's also a way for the Israelis to reopen the skies and return to some kind of normality. The company that has designed the technology says that everything is safe and that people should not be worried. In fact, it is not as intrusive, this technology, as other apps that are currently being used in Israel. The company has also stressed the point that it's not monitoring any kind of personal information. It's not recording any information.
Google, Apple, Facebook, they take care of all that.
And at the same time, it's not taking pictures. It's also said that the bracelet is, to quote, comfortable, that it is efficient, that people won't even know that they have it on them. It's very light and it's waterproof. They've actually gone so far as to call it a freedom bracelet, saying that it gives passengers arriving in Israel the choice to do an army hotel quarantine or a home quarantine.
You gotta love it. The freedom bracelet. This is a bracelet that they force you to wear, and it monitors you, and it sets off an alarm if you take a step outside of your house during their prescribed quarantine period, and they call it the freedom bracelet. This is the bizarre world we live in, but they're not done. This is a party called the Be Healthy Party, and they have been trying to fight back against this. Now, I'm sympathetic to this. These are people who say COVID is not this existential threat. There's other ways to guard your health. We don't need all this government tracking and surveillance and all that stuff. Listen to what, and again, I'm going to bring it up again. People who believe that Israel is the shining beacon of democracy and freedom in the Middle East, that we need to do everything possible to defend with our taxpayer dollars and with the lives of our young soldiers. I got to tell you, the government over there is not something that I really think is American should be excited about fighting for. Love the Jewish people. I'd love to go to Israel. I'm sure it's fantastic. But their government is creepy.
They took away the head of the party's, his medical license. And they...
This is this party that is resisting this tracking, tracing, and surveillance. And listen to how the Israeli government is treating them in this fine bastion of democracy in the Middle East.
They removed our platforms from Facebook, and now they won't let the media even write about us. So we want to ask all the international, anywhere we can get to publicize what we are saying.
I didn't see this in a video form. I just got it in an audio clip. I'm not sure. Is she running for her life? She's very out of breath here.
It's a very bad situation here. They're not letting children as young as 16 to take their matriculation exams without taking this injection. They are, of course, insisting people for work. They're making this green passport where half the population cannot get into theaters or malls or all sorts of things unless they've taken the vaccination. They're creating a medical apartheid. They have now issued, just this morning, they made it that they're allowed to send each person's private medical records to the local municipality so that they'll know who's taken the injection or not. They're making people wear a ankle bracelet, security bracelet, when they come back from traveling. It's absolutely insane.
That just strikes me as very, very odd for a group of people that would just in a couple of generations were targeted, tracked, traced, labeled with yellow armbands. I mean, that's almost the only thing missing from this story. This is Israel now. This is officially creepy and bizarro world. Back here in the United States, Houston, Texas has completed their COVID bingo card.
Tonight, Houston becoming the first U.S. city to see cases of all the reported variants, including those first found in California, New York, the U.K., Brazil, and South Africa.
Bingo! They've got them all. They've got all the variants, the mutants. And then this was Joy Reid reacting to the states that are removing the mandates from their people. because she is a COVID hysteric, as you would expect on MSNBC.
You get some COVID, and you get some COVID, and you get some COVID, and you get some COVID.
She's bringing Oprah to the world of COVID. When I come back, we'll look a little bit more at the left and some of the insanity that they have, even outside of COVID. Be right back. All night with the king. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
All right, final segment for the week. My understanding, God is giving us a beautiful weekend this weekend. Looks like temperatures in the 60s, bright sunshine. I'm telling you, we've been rewarded. We're going to have the fresh air to breathe finally as we can take the holy diaper off of our face and move about. If you're looking to get out this weekend, this is the part of the show that I tell you and give you the best piece of advice I can give you during my time, which is to head out to Your Pie, 340 Calhoun Station Parkway out in Gluckstadt. Fantastic food, locally owned business, veteran-owned business, great staff and fantastic menu. They've got 10-inch brick oven fire pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, gelato, beers, wines, whatever you want. They got desserts out there as well. They've also got televisions if you want to catch some of the basketball. And they've also got a great little deck out there that this weekend would be absolutely fantastic. If it's high 60s with a breeze, perfect. Anyway, check out Your Pie. They've also got their Pie Day coming up, I believe, on the 14th. Well, of course, it's on the 14th. That's Pie Day, where if you download their app and become a member of their rewards program on that day, you'll get $3.14, that being the pie symbol. Or I guess the number for pie. You'll get that off of a 10-inch pizza. But they've got a great menu out there. You can make pizzas your way as well. Tell them that WYAB sent you out there and promise you will enjoy your time. I've never sent anybody out there that didn't have glowing reviews for Your Pie. Again, they're at 340 Calhoun Station Parkway. And download their app at the App Store, Your Pie. You'll get all kinds of rewards and specials and points. And then if you go on March 14th on Pie Day, which is always a big day for them there, you'll get discounts on your pizzas that day as well. All right, we're going to finish up this week on the crazy train. This clip has been making the rounds. I got to tell you, it's funny, but I try not to take the easy, cheap shots. This one is just, I don't know, it's too funny. I didn't get a whole lot of Biden clips. It's kind of funny. I'm not getting a lot of Biden clips because Biden's kind of hiding. He's not talking a lot, is he?
I think he's getting on a plane. He told me he came in to see me last event. And representatives, Shirley Jackson Lee, Al Green, Sylvia Garcia, Lizzie Pinelli, Pinnell, and what am I doing here? I'm going to lose track here. And
we're all wondering what you're doing there, Joe. Don't worry about it. Now, to be fair, he's saying he's trying to get his notes. What am I doing here? It's Joe Biden. It's fair game. I have really enjoyed the last week of watching Andrew Cuomo squirm as he is fine. Here's the theory that people said. I've been wondering, what did Cuomo do? Because the left and even the mainstream media is turning on Andrew Cuomo. What makes most sense to me is that when the heat really got up on him for the fact that he killed a bunch of people in New York with his policies, they knew that they could not defend that. And so what the left has decided to do is take him down through a Me Too movement where they feel like they have some moral superiority to take him down, but they want to distract you from the fact that he is actually responsible for thousands of deaths of senior citizens in New York.
I fully support a woman's right to come forward. And I think it should be encouraged in every way.
Yeah, I'll bet you do.
I now understand
Oh.
that I acted in a way that made people feel uncomfortable.
This speaking style of being, explaining, you know, it's going to talk, you got to talk slow for all the stupid people out here and make him, us understand how deep and, you know, serious he is.
It was unintentional.
Of course. Not his fault.
And I truly and deeply apologize for it.
Oh, no, Andrew. Haven't you been paying attention? Apologies don't get you uncanceled.
I feel awful about it. And frankly, I am embarrassed by it. And that's not easy to say.
Oh.
But that's the truth.
What a hero.
But this is what I want you to know. And I want you to know this from me directly. I never touched anyone inappropriately. I never touched anyone inappropriately. I never knew at the time that I was making anyone feel uncomfortable. I never knew at the time I was making anyone feel uncomfortable. And I certainly never, ever meant to offend anyone or hurt anyone.
Isn't it very interesting that so many of the people on the left can institute so many rules and standards for everybody, but they're so clueless about the same standards. They don't know they're subject to these things. Black Lives Matter had a Black History Month curriculum, essentially, that was rolled out to the schools in honor of Black History Month. Schools across the land of the free are adopting a curriculum that's being pushed from the organization Black Lives Matter. Curiously, the Black Lives Matter at School curriculum, that's the title, quote, Black Lives Matter at School curriculum, has absolutely nothing to do with history, let alone black history. Instead, the organization presents an entirely Marxist, ultra-woke agenda. Listen to this. The first clue on the website literally states, quote, we engage comrades, unquote, through the curriculum's 13 guiding principles. One of these guideline principles is, quote, disrupting the Western prescribed nuclear family structure, unquote, to replace it with, quote, villages that collectively care for one another and especially our children. This now is Black Lives Matter in our schools for Black History Month. Let's see. Oh, I touched on this briefly as I was ending the show last week, but I got a clip about it. California leading the way on more progressive policies that will enhance the lives of our children.
State lawmakers are considering a bill that would require department stores and large retailers to have gender-neutral children's sections. Assemblyman Evan Lowe says that he wants to make the shopping experience more inclusive for children. Stores that violate the proposed legislation, gender-specific toys and clothing that some groups claim perpetuates gender stereotype.
Oh, they're going into the store level. You can't have boys' sections and girls' sections in the stores anymore. That's California. Now, I don't know if Black Lives Matter tackled this in their curriculum or not, but they are coming after math.
Oregon's education department is promoting a training program to help teachers, quote, develop an anti-racist math practice. The program is funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and partners with many education and math organizations. According to the toolkit, teachers must work to, quote, dismantle white supremacy in math classrooms by visibilizing toxic characteristics of white supremacy.
Critical race theory has definitely come to the fore when it comes to education. It's essentially unavoidable now.
Critical theory has origins in Marxism, which separates the world into oppressors versus the oppressed. Critical race theory takes that framework and looks at the world through a racial lens, separating people into racist and anti-racist. Education expert Jonathan Butcher says this idea says people should look at narratives to describe the world. In other words, there are no absolute truths, only narratives.
This is talking about injecting into a hard science ideas of oppression and supremacy.
This toolkit says it's white supremacy for teachers to ask students to show their work or focus on the right answer. Teachers are encouraged to ask their students to come up with at least two answers that might solve a math problem. A reference workbook similarly says the belief in objectivity is a characteristic of white supremacy. It claims it's racist to believe there is such a thing as being objective or neutral. Instead, one should assume that everybody has a valid point.
But what this is doing is taking a very political and I think extremely circular and frankly logically incoherent concept and sticking it into math.
I got to tell you, I wish I had had this argument back when I was in high school. I did pretty well at basic math, and I'm quick with basic math. Ask me a percentage of something, I can give it to you pretty quick. But when we started getting to algebra and calculus and things like that, and my son struggled with calculus last year up at Ole Miss, and I wish that I had known that we could have played the oppressor card and maybe gotten a pass on that. I played you the unfortunate Dolly Parton song of Vaccine. I had promised you that I would give you a song to kind of wash that out of your ears. Unfortunately, this is the only one I came up with. And this is another teacher in our current education system. This is a teacher. I was trying to look at her backdrop and see exactly what grade she taught. It's hard to tell if it's little kids or high school kids, but this is her contribution to education. I hate to unmute her, but I guess I better.
There is white privilege, please don't teach. If you don't believe that Black Lives Matter, please don't teach. If you don't believe in systemic racism and how it negatively impacts our students of color and don't want to help dismantle those systems, please don't teach.
Very smug look into the camera at the very end of that one. She's teaching your children. And then this was just a funny one. A pastor makes a faux pas.
Before we begin, let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, our hearts are made ready to hear the truth.
I'm sorry. That's stupid, but just sometimes things are just funny for funny's sake. All right, that's all the time I've got for this week. Hope you have a fantastic weekend. I think God's given us a good one because we've finally taken back the freedom that he originally gave us. Go out and enjoy it, and I will see you on Monday. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.